This podcast is sponsored by Runway, air traffic control for your mobile releases. Put your releases on autopilot. Runway will shepherd your release from kickoff to submission to release with no manual intervention. A single source of truth for your releases. Runway integrates with your favorite tools for a bird's eye view over release progress and blockers. Make your releases collaborative. Get a rich, contextualized release runbook that makes capturing responsibilities and tracking tasks crystal clear. Get more control on your releases on App Store and Play Store. Point your browser to runway.team. Thank you for sponsoring my podcast. I'm also revamping my newsletter. Check it out, appforce1.net to sign up. You can also find a sign-up link on my Twitter profile. Hi, and welcome to the 50th episode of my podcast. My name is Jeroen Leenens, and I've been developing iOS apps for over 9 years, and I'm running Dutch CocoaHeads for close to 8 years. If you're an iOS app developer, you should listen to my podcast because it will keep you updated on interesting articles and conferences you might not have heard about. In this episode, I'm going to talk about case study, building a profitable app in 30 days. Should every if statement have an else clause? How Sendable can help in preventing data races, non-isolated and isolated keywords, understanding actor isolation, inspecting HTTP traffic with instruments, Kaleidoscope merge tool, and of course Donny's Monday morning tweet. It's been a busy week, a lot of transferring of knowledge, talking with colleagues, planning for the next quarter really, and yeah, I'm not in the next quarter, so it's a bit awkward to be actually planning things with my soon-to-be ex-colleagues. So I'm trying to make the best of it, but it's very exhausting to just make sure that I stay engaged and I keep on supporting my peers, even though I know I won't be enjoying the fruits of our labor right now. Just a couple more weeks, and I was already informed that there will be a nice get-together in the last week at my current job, so to get a good way to say goodbye to the people that I've been working with for 3.5 years, because every time I think about that, it's kind of strange because I worked with all of these people for 3.5 years, but I haven't seen any of them hardly in the last 1.5 years due to Corona. And yeah, basically one of the first things that I will be doing when seeing all these people again in person will actually be saying goodbye. So it's a bit double how this feels to me, because I'm looking forward to seeing them in person. I'm also, in a way, look forward to saying goodbye, but as always, any goodbye is always a bit bittersweet. But as always, I expect to be able to manage that as well. So yeah, just a few more weeks, and then I'm getting involved into a process that's going to last 3 months. The new place I will be working at actually has an onboarding process of 3 months. I was positively surprised by that, because getting onboarded somewhere is always a tense period. Having some roadmap available before I even started it were there is just great. So I really look forward to that. Also, today is October 11th. So 2 days from now, it will be exactly 1 year that I published my promo episode. I will play it back for you right now.
Welcome to my new podcast, AppForce One, news and information for iOS app developers. My name is Jeroen Leenaerts. I'm an iOS software developer based in the Netherlands.
Yeah, that was before I learned about filtering and improving the voice quality of my audio. So, yeah, just for comparison, here's a clip from this promo, untreated.
Welcome to my new podcast, AppForce One.
And this is treated.
Welcome to my new podcast, AppForce One.
And before my first real episode, I got a new microphone. Hi, and welcome to my new podcast, AppForce One. It's amazing what a difference just some audio sweetening and a good microphone actually makes. So just wanted to share this with you. It's cringeworthy for me to actually listen to this like a year later. But I hope you have a laugh about it as well, just as I did when I first heard it again this week. And it also really helps that I'm now way more comfortable in front of a microphone. Next week, I will be releasing an episode That's sort of like more like a review of the last year and to just see what benefits I've gained from my podcast and why I started podcasting, what I changed along the way in the last year, and if I'm still actually enjoying podcasting. But now let's dive into this week's articles. The first article is by Arthur van Sickelen. Case study, building a profitable app in 30 days. Arthur just built Shape, a lucid dreaming app for iPhone. It took him 30 days to design the app, build it, produce the audio guides and ship it in the App Store. And in his article, he explains how he did it. It's a nice overview of the process that Arthur went through and also the lessons that he learned along the ways. And a lot of tips in there if you want to do something similar. Jordi Bruin, who's done a talk at Swift Leads, have a look at it on his Gumroad page. And I will put a link to that in the show notes. Also very worthwhile to have a listen to or have a read through once you've read this article by Arthur. The next article is by Sarun. Should every if statement have an else clause? If statement is a basic conditional statement that we use every day. It is so intuitive because it is almost identical to what we think and speak in real life. Due to its simplicity, sometimes you don't put much thought into how you actually use it. But it might surprise you or not the bugs that happen around if statements more often than not. And that usually happens when Sarun uses if without the else clause. In this article, Sarun makes a case for why or whether or not every if statement should have an else clause. And it's some deep thinking about a very fundamental construct in software development. And I think it's good to just have a read through this and see what Sarun's thoughts on this are. And you probably learn a thing or two about logical construction in your code base as well. It's really line level things that we're contemplating here, but the general principle applies to a lot more things within software development. And I think it's very worthwhile to have a little bit of a step back and some contemplation on basic language constructs because it applies so well in our day-to-day job. Thanks for that, Sarun. The next article is by Lee. It's called How Sendable Can Help in Preventing Data Races. In a previous article by Lee, he has taught you about actors and how they can help you in preventing data races by ensuring mutual exclusion to the mutual states. This statement is true as long as you are accessing the mutable states within the actors. If the mutable states are accessed outside of the actors, a data race can occur. In the article by Lee, he explores this kind of data race and how it can happen and how you can use the Sendable protocol to help in preventing a data race. On top of that, he will also take a look at the future improvements that Apple will bring to Sendable in order to tackle such kinds of situations. Really great overview of data races in the context of using actors, or actually when using data outside of the actors context. And I think it's really good to be aware of this specific issue when dealing with actors. It's very logical that it happens, but just having a read through and the nice examples that Lee provides is very helpful in getting a good grip on these concepts and how you can actually apply and avoid these issues in your day-to-day role. So have a look through his article and let me know what you think. Then the next one is also about actors. And this is by Antoine van der Lee. Non-isolated and isolated keywords. Understanding actor isolation. SE313 introduced the non-isolated and isolated keywords as part of adding actor isolation control. Actors are a new way of providing synchronization for shared mutable states with the new concurrency framework. If you are new to actors in Swift, Antoine encourages you to read one of his previous articles, obviously, which is a good overview, so have a read through it anyway. And in this article, he will explain how you can control method and parameter isolation when working with actors in Swift. In his article, Antoine details what the default behavior of actors is and how you can modify this behavior by marking parameters as isolated or non-isolated. This is very convenient because it allows you to influence the way that actors deal with your data and how the accessing of the data is actually performed. This is helpful because, again, as we've noticed in the previous article, there are some details involved when working with actors that you have to get right, because otherwise you're dealing with actors, but you still can get issues along the way. So have a look through his article and learn about isolated and non-isolated keywords. And I think it's very helpful to be aware of this additional concept that you need to know about when dealing with actors. The next article is by Keith from useyourloaf.com. Xcode 13 added a useful networking instrument to record and analyze URL sessions and HTTP traffic. With instruments, you can now record a network trace. It's a specific template in instruments, and you should really have a look at it. In the article, you get an overview of what you can do with this new network trace template, and what things you can find and debug while using this template. What's really nice about this is that you can also really pick apart what's happening during a network call. So the DNS querying, the TCP negotiation, the TLS negotiation, waiting for things. And it shows you what's really happening at a low level within your networking. There is a caveat though. If you're familiar with, for instance, Charles Proxy, you might be a bit disappointed because you cannot modify any of the headers and viewing the headers and body is limited to what you see in the extended details pane. Charles has way more ways to format the data that you're looking at. A good tip that that Keith provides is that you can provide a session description and a task description on your URL session and URL session tasks. It really helps with how it's being displayed in the network trace in instruments. The final link that I'm about to share, it's not really an article. It's just a link to a tool that has updated to a new version and which has been part of my day-to-day work, I don't know, for over 8 years already. And the tool is called Kaleidoscope. They just released version 3 and I'm just so happy that the tool has received such a big new update that I just wanted to mention it here. Using a specific merge tool takes some getting used to, but Kaleidoscope has such nice integration with Xcode really through the debugging console. You can just debug in Xcode and get the debug output into Kaleidoscope and then do some more debugging and get that input into Kaleidoscope as well and have a comparison with that. Also, the comparison features of other formats within Kaleidoscope are just great. The price point of Kaleidoscope might seem a little bit hefty. It's like in my time zone, it's 150 euros. But if you can afford this tool, I highly recommend that you get a license. I haven't upgraded myself yet. I still need to get to that. But knowing how Kaleidoscope has helped me and saved me so many hours in the last 8 years, I'm definitely going to upgrade to their new product. So highly recommend it. And yeah, just have a look at it. Kaleidoscope.app. And the next topic is Donny's Monday morning tweet. When looking at Donny's Monday morning tweet, these are the highlights that I've noticed. Stuart Lynch is celebrating his 150th Swift UI video with a video for the first time. Vincent has purchased some wall art, it seems, when he's in front of a camera. It looks like some super advanced Lego set, I think, if I look at the picture. And Shai has added support for Figma to the Prism tool that he built. He refactored some code and it ended up really cool. And he wishes he could have used Async Await for a lot of the changes that he had to do. Azam Sharp is working on a brand new course, Test Driven Development in iOS Using Swift. He hopes it will be available before Thanksgiving. And Tunde says good morning to Donny, and he lets us know that he recently released a new video discussing the new swipe action available in Swift UI, which is really easy to configure and customize. So thanks, Tunde, for creating a nice video on this topic. Jake Nelson also wishes Donny good morning, and he's recharged after the weekend and he hopes everybody else is too. He's working on adding a CoverFlow-like interface to his local music app, which he launched last week, and he's trying to learn a bit about Siri intents for the next iteration of his product. His product is called Mixtapes, a multi-cue music player with smart mixes. Toke has been fighting a Swift UI bug. It has to do with two modal sheets, and one accessed via the complication does not close, but the other one, after accessing the normal modal sheet in the study, the other modal sheet closes as soon as he opens it, and he doesn't understand why there's an impact or a link between these two. So hopefully Toke can resolve it, and I wish him best of luck with that. Rafi is stuck on something, and he hopes someone can help him out with it. It's actually about an article that Antoine has published, and he's running into some issues with Alamo Fire. And Donny actually confesses that if he gets to a code base that's new for him and there's Alamo Fire in it, one of the first things that he tends to do is rip out Alamo Fire. Well, that's a specific preference. And Maris is telling us that he learned today that a combined pipeline receives failure completions. It will also finish its work and not listen for any new events anymore. The same if there's a finished completion that's being received. He thought that there would still be events received, so today he is refactoring some existing code. Pavel has something to celebrate. 2 years ago, after 6 months of development and learning Swift from zero, he had released his first iOS app, Family Graves, and it was the first step in his career switch from being a pharmacist to an iOS developer. And if you want to learn more about this journey that Powell took, have a look in my back catalog of episodes, because I did a nice interview with him. So, and the list goes on and on. Obviously, Leo is in there as well. He's having to recover a bit from COVID. He hasn't been hit too hard, and he's doing stuff with the family, and he's doing a new podcast episode with General Jalcut, which is a great guy as well. And he also has a chat with Freak4PC on his new Ray Wendelich book on advanced Swift. Lucas is mentioning that he published his first app ever, completely written in Swift UI, for watching the results of Czech elections. It was a long journey for him to learn Swift, but finally he made it. And it was the number one app in Czechia in the free category for over 3 days already, which is awesome work, man. And Jill is very excited about a new job, and it will be the first time that he will work from an office in about 1.5 years. And Christian Simbarashe is learning some Objective-C this week. Objective-C developers are hard to find these days. Just trying to get myself apart by being able to work with legacy code. Besides, it's helping me understand Swift better, especially selectors and using NS application main as the application's delegate. And the list goes on and on. There's some nice things in there. And Eric Lipman actually started the 100 Days of Swift UI today, which is a great course to do by Paul Hudson. I'm also thinking about going through both of his 100-day courses at some point myself, so who knows. And yeah, it's just a lot of updates and just tons of stuff that are just great to see people working on. It's a really long list of replies on this Monday morning tweet, probably also because I'm a bit later with reviewing the list. So there you have it, people. A great episode right before I'm going to celebrate my 1 year of podcasting. I hope you enjoyed it. Always let me know what you think through Twitter. And if you want to support my podcast, have a look at pod.fan/appforce1. I publish my raw recordings of interviews I do with guests on my podcast, so you can get early access to all these great people a little bit earlier. And you really help me support my podcasting journey. And I really hope that you stick around as a listener to my podcast for a very long time. Thanks for your time and have a great week. Lead Developer, best practices and tips for lead software developers. PDF, MOBI and EPUB format. appforce1.net/lead developer. All one word.